Looks like it's a beautiful day and an opportunity to witness again for the Lord. Betty and I had just been out on the balcony and met some lady from California who seemed to be real trouble in her spirit, and we'd gone out last night on the balcony and was feasting, and I'd felt that we should witness to somebody, and that I found out today that the lady was there last night. And coincidental or not, you know, I believe it to be divine providence, but when we went out today, of course, she was there again at the very same time. And so Betty and I took the opportunity to witness to her, and it looked like it really helped her. Seems like when Betty talks to a woman, that she has a way that God has blessed her with to be able to reach right down into her soul and really help to enlighten her and cause her to have a yearning toward Christ. But anyway, we've been able to do that, and of course you just witnessed to a girl by the name of Jody, one by the name of Maureen yesterday, I believe it was, or just recently, that it looks like that she's really gotten to, and some others that we've been able to witness to. But, you know, the world is a field of evangelism. It's a world that's needy. All over the world, people are starving to death for Christ. And I stop and think a lot of times how that I've made mention of this to different brothers and sisters or people whom we've come in contact with. But I see where they're so mixed up on their priorities of life and on the evaluation of things. And I see where they trade the greater things that God has given them for the lesser things. And while people are striving to obtain things in the world of tangible sources, they're losing their eyesight, they're losing their hearing, they're losing their members, they're losing their health, they're losing their loved ones, they're losing their sanity. And the great detriment of the entirety of it is they lose their soul. And I think it is so horrible to think that we as a people, especially the Bethlehemites, if you don't mind me saying it that way, but we as people, and let us say Christians, because that's really what it sums up to, we as Christians, having been called Christians first at Antioch because they were Christ-like, we as Christians, you know, we seem to get beside ourselves and I struggle in striving for the materialistic values of life, not honoring the Lord with our substance, but being very selfish and very conceited toward the things of life. And we seem to, rather than being willing to share that others might have, we have a tendency to want to hoard things, which is to our own detriment. And rather than being the kind of a people that would want to be diligent, and that the Bible says the diligent soul will be made fat, the slothful, his vineyard, Solomon said, will be broken down. But instead of being diligent toward others, we get slothful. And instead of wanting to share with them, we want to hoard things to our own hurt, when the Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. And the more ease and comfort that we get in Zion, that is if we are in the church, the more comfort and convenience that we get, the worse off we are. Because the devil is looking for the things of the world, and he's looking for comforts and convenience. And he savors the things that be of the flesh. So then he is always after those tangible sources and always after the merits of the world. He likes frolic. He likes to eat and drink. He likes to ride. He likes to vacation. He likes to have, you know, just the natural therapies of life as to a recreational source. This satisfies him much. And I know God has given these things to us. And I know that they belong to us. I'm not unaware of the fact that they belong to us and that he is a thief and a robber. They don't belong to him. He doesn't have any right to them. And when I speak of the things that God has given us as to physical therapy and as to the recreational sources of life or aids of life, I'm not saying that Satan is the giver of those things, nor does he own those things. He promises all of these things to the ignorant because they don't understand that he might confiscate and get control of their lives. But in all reality, these are the things that God has given us. Even in the garden, Adam and Eve had these things and these privileges. You know, the whole beautiful world and garden was there with their lakes and with their streams and with their birds and with the fields of cattle and all the beautiful things with the fruit trees. And they had their beautiful world that was a world of peace and tranquility, a world of health and a world of happiness, a world of the abundance of plenty as to the nourishment of the body and of all of the things that they had to furbish and refurbish with. But when they lost that, they lost it because of one act, the act of iniquity. For God, being the spirit of life, being the tree of life, as to the words of life, in that God is the word, the tree, and he is the God knowledge. So then when they partook of the wrong tree, the wrong knowledge, it gave way for another mind to come into their body to confiscate and get control of their human senses, and in so doing creating a conflict with life. And then it got to be like the germ of life and the germ of death. As to the body and the spirit, we say there is a continual conflict between these things, for the carnal mind is at enmity with God. Not because your natural mind is at enmity with God in the sense of the act of creation. It is not that, but by the act of infiltration. So then when they partook of the tree of knowledge, in came the iniquity by means of that knowledge that was perverted and the base. And God, who is the spirit of life, had to withdraw from the body, and the body began to experience the sufferings of death and sorrow and sickness and poverty, fears and frustration. Whereas the Bible teaches that God is not a robber and a thief, but Satan. And Satan began to confiscate, to steal, and to cheat, to swindle, to lie, to take, to deceive, to take away the life and the blessings and the strength and the health of that which belonged to humanity. And so then he took all of the means of recreational sources away from them and begin to get into the bloodstream, and the life being in the blood, he began to confiscate the life, put it into bondage, and then the life being subject to the five senses, the Bible said the body, that is the creature, was made subject to vanity, that is by reason of the five senses, not willingly, but by reason of God, who subjected the same in hope, to form a cocoon, that within that cocoon he might form a product, that that product might mold and come to a maturity of conformity as to Christ as angelic being, and that in so doing we would have an abundance of life. I am the Prince of Life, and I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundant, which, as we say so often, filled up and overflowing. I know that we have life, but we don't have life abundantly until we get the Spirit of Christ. And Christ is the fullness of life. We only have a little breath of life, a little sipitation of life. But when he comes, we have a reservoir of life. And the Bible said, out of your innermost beings shall flow rivers of living water. And that out of these wells of salvation, as the deep calleth unto the deep, at the water spout of God, that we draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. For serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So then we know that if we don't have peace, we're not serving God. If we don't have joy, then we're not serving God. And that means that we don't have the Holy Ghost, because wherever the Holy Ghost is, as to the Spirit of Christ, there is an abundance of joy, because that is the reservoir of God as to the abundance of his life. For Jesus had not the Spirit by measure, but he was the full reservoir of God that contained the waters of life, and from him comes forth all of the waters of life, and from him emanates all sources of life, that we might have the inspiration to the abundance of living. And God, knowing that Satan has infiltrated our bodies, taken control of our five human senses, he has confiscated all of our goods that God has given us, and he has infiltrated all the recreational sources of life. He has infiltrated all of our thoughts of life, infiltrated all of our activities of life, all of our the benefits that God has given us, whether tangible, spiritual, whatever they might be, Satan has infiltrated them. And now the body has become a body of death. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This body which seems to be so outstanding and so admirable, the body that seems to be everything that you want, and of course it would be if it was in its originality, if it was back as a son of God before the fall. And this is what Jesus seeks to do, is to bring us back to that place, even with a more abundant living by transformation of mind. But, see, this body would be everything that you wanted, with the exception that it's infiltrated. And because it has been infiltrated, then Satan is doing all of these evils. He is breeding iniquity. And your mind constantly genders thoughts that are contrary to God and forces life out. It isn't that Satan wants to force life out. He wants to confiscate life. And as long as the blood is on the mercy seat, he can confiscate it by living inside of you, because you do have the church ages as to the days of grace, wherein the abundance of God's joy is poured out as his Spirit upon all flesh. So then he can be a partaker of those things, because it is upon the tares and upon the wheat, even the sunshine and the rain. But the thing is that he has inbred himself within the body, took control of the bloodstream, and thus the life is imprisoned within the bloodstream, because the life is in the blood and the blood is in the heart. So then he controls mankind by the five human senses, by medium of the brain. And in doing this, he uses man's sources to get inspiration for himself, because he is a spirit, just like you are an angelic spirit on the inside. Your body was given to your angelic spirit to revitalize and refurbish the angelic spirit, to lift it up and to give it the stimulation of strength, to activate it and to cause it to be full of the great potentiality of God. But Satan, being a spirit, being cut off from those things, in that he was made the ruler of the darkness, because he kept not his first estate, he hath fallen. And in that he hath left his first estate, then he became the ruler of darkness. Now to us, that is a little baffling, because the way that we think is in natural terminology. And when we think of natural molecular light, or we think of the cosmic energy, we think of night and darkness. What we see that's recorded with these little 22 conductive nerves, it's from the eye to the brain. But when I say he became the ruler of the darkness, I mean he became the ruler as to a knowledge that is a base. When he left the light of God's glorious understanding, and in reflecting the beauty of God, then he became the contaminated, a tyrant. And then he became one that was abased in his thoughts and did gender thoughts to abase the thoughts of Eve, who in return abased the thoughts of Adam and caused the fall from light into darkness. This world is a world of darkness, and ye are candle lights, as it would be said, in this world coming together to form enough light to where the people who love light can come out of the darkness, see the light, and have a place to where they can live in a lighted city. Even Jerusalem, the great lighted city, the Bible said the gates are not closed in that city by night or by day, and there is no night in that city. So then we find that with this, the body becomes a prison. It becomes a prison, and the nerves begin to react wrong. The mind begins to react wrong. The physical stamina of the body begins to react wrong. The metabolism of the body gets all out of shape, and things just aren't functioning properly. A torture and a torment sets into the body, and it begins to aggravate. It begins to oppress. It begins to drive you until the inner man, as to the spiritual angelic being, is literally tormented. So the body actually becomes a prison, a body of death, as Paul said. And rather than being the beautiful thing that God had intended for the inspiration, because it is subjected to vanity, and Satan is the god of this world of vanity, and that Solomon said all is vanity, then that means that he begins to torture and torment, and you find yourself turned over to the tormentors, even in this body, before you ever depart this life, to go into the burning lake of fire or into the world of exile. You find yourself even here exile, to the extent that if you are not out of the body, as the Bible says, God having chosen you out of the body, hid you with Christ, that is in His Spirit, translating your spirit into His Spirit, and having hid you with Christ in God, whose Spirit is in God, that is translated into God, hid you in God until the time of the restoring or the correction of all things, then that means that you are trapped in the body. So what Jesus did when He went to Calvary, He trapped Lucifer in the body. When He was made sin, He trapped Lucifer in the body. You hear me say so often that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman and made under the law, that He may gather all things into the body of Christ in the fullness of time. And He did. He gathered the angelic as to the flying things, as it was with Noah in the top of the ark. He gathered those things, that as we speak of the earthly things, in the middle of the ark as the door was open, which has to do with the human anatomy world. And then He gathered the creeping things down into the bottom of the ark, which was dark and where there was no light, where Satan, being the ruler of the darkness, meaning that he is the ruler of that third dimensional projection. God created the heavens, the earth, and the seas, and the sea is dark and deep, and the weird creatures are there, and yet the heavens are light, and the beautiful creatures are there, and then that which is the mediocre is caught in between. We who relate to both the heavens and the earth, or that beneath the earth. So then that means that Satan became the ruler of abased thoughts. He is the ruler of darkness, which means the intellectual diplomacy of life. And I say again, when I say that, we're not saying that Satan is the giver of understanding and knowledge. We're saying that he confiscated and infiltrated, just like he infiltrated the body and the recreational sources of man's goods. He has infiltrated the world of knowledge and what technology God has given as to the benefit of life, as to whether it be the scientific side of it. And I know this science, falsely so-called, but science, the Bible said, if you follow after God, you will soon find the knowledge of God, which is the real God of heaven and of earth. And the real knowledge that is true knowledge and life, the words and spirit, understanding of life. So then God, being the wonderful God of light, has subjected Satan to the darkness. And this world is a darkness that's under the diplomacies of life. And those diplomacies are infiltrated, those educational sources are infiltrated, the institutions are infiltrated, and the badge and the gun as to the law that was given by God, it also was infiltrated from the time it left the Jewish way of life, but will be restored. All of these great, wonderful advantages in technology and all of the great diplomacies of life as to what is right and what is holy and godly will be restored as to God's way of doing it, as to a good understanding and health and happiness, and there'll be no infiltration, there'll be no curse, there'll be no spots, there'll be no blemishes when the millennium earth comes in, which will come in after the tribulation period. And we're nearing the tribulation period now, which is the great time of devastation. And yet we know that this is the beginning of sorrows, for there is sorrow everywhere. And this is the great hour of temptation that God promised to keep us from. And this is the hour where temptation is everywhere. And so everybody needs help. Everybody is looking for the source of life. And Christ, the Prince of Life, He alone, being made heir to the glory of God, which is life, He hath abundantly poured out Himself through the angelic source, that we might have this abundance of God, even in our natural creative period of life. Through these time periods and waypoints of life, He has poured out His Spirit upon us as the rain to keep us alive until He can refurbish or open up a fountain in the house of David. If you recall, in the garden, it was no such thing as rain. Rain that would come down and cause a place that would be muddy, mud holes, as we refer to it, as a place for the swine. There was no such thing, but it was the mist that come up from the garden that watered the garden. But when man fell from this wonderful illumination of light, God then purposed in His heart that He would open this fountain in the house of David, or place this not in the garden as a rain upon, but or an inspiration, but from within He would water throughout eternity. So He comes to Calvary and places Christ within us. Until that time, the rain must continue to come down upon us to furbish and refurbish us in our bodies to keep us alive during the siege or the strait that we're going through, as from Canaan or Egypt to Canaan. So in so doing this, that means that we are running into the problems, all of these problems, the briars and the curse. But see, when the curse is lifted as to Calvary, from that time on, the church ages, we are filled with the Spirit of His glory, that the fountain, which is the waters of life, can flow forth. As it said in the book of Revelation, we see a throne, and out of the throne flowed the river of life. On either side of the river there was the tree of life, with the fruits of life, and the leaves for the healing of the nation. And as I say, the gates were not closed by day, and there is no night in that city, for the Lamb is the light thereof. For the ruler of darkness is gone forever. That ruler of darkness that left his first estate when God had given it to him, the angelic beings, God made them the ruler of the intellectual darkness, and today they're confiscating, and He is the prince of this world. And all of this world is vanity, the vanity, the lust of the eyes and of the flesh, and the pride of life in the world, and the lust thereof must pass away. But there is another world, and that world is on the verge of coming forth right now. So we see the waters of life here as they break open at Calvary. For the prophecy of the Old Testament says, and there will be a fountain open within the house of David. And even though the house is considered to be the body, and the body is not accounted for until the end of the church ages, the Jews going out after Daniel's 483, as to the prophecy, giving us 2,000 years of church ages, and coming back in as to the 7 years in the end time, then the house is restored, and out of there comes forth the fountain of life, for Jesus Himself shall sit upon the throne. But in the meantime, during the church ages, this wonderful Christ is within your heart as a fountain of life, and that fountain has been opened in the house of David. For he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly, he is the true Jew, as the true Son of David, which is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So then that means that Christ on the inside of you is that hope of glory, and that beautiful fountain of water is flowing right now. It's flowing, and it is open to everyone. Let everyone come and partake of this wonderful water of life. Let him that hath no money come and partake freely, for all of this water is free to everyone that's willing to come. Jesus said to the woman at the well, I would have given you water that you would not have to come here and draw. had you asked of me? Even though she was an adulterous woman, very adulterous, had been married so many times, but Jesus did not let that stand in the way. All he could do was look beyond her faults to see her need and said, no matter, even though you have done this thing, you know, if you would repent, I could reach you. That is to say, if you do evil and you turn and do righteously, all of your sins shall not be remembered. In your righteousness you shall live. But if you do righteously and turn and do wickedly, in your wickedness ye shall die. So then, this morning, just these few things to try to encourage you and let you know that we love you, that we care for you, that you're on our mind, and that we desire your prayers, and we want to be a strength to you, and you're a strength to us as we go on in world evangelism. Let us love together, trust together, be together to love one another, for love is of God, and charity as to humility before honor, pride and haughtiness before a fall and destruction. Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let us keep the flames of Bethlehem burning as we, I can tell that it's like feathers in the wind around the world, and let us keep it burning so that from there we can put out the leaves of life from the tree of life and the fruits of life as to the fruits of the Spirit for the furbishing and refurbishing of mankind and for the healing of the nation. May God bless you. We love you. Pray for us, and we'll see you later.